Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Mango.
Afternoons on the Score.
You know, Hub, I think you hit a great point there.
Hub Arkish.
The Arkish family in pro football media journalism has been around almost as long as the game itself.
670 The Score's NFL Insider.
The Bears won't say it, but this is clearly a complete rebuild.
Executive editor of Pro Football Weekly.
Guys, I hope everybody knows that I consider this fun.
Good. Analyst for Shaw Media and The Daily Herald.
Well, call it what you will. No, I think that's a ridiculous idea. Let me put it another way. There are other better ideas, in my opinion.
Hub Arkish, not getting better than this.
Hub Arkish with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Busy day at Hallis Hall. Mark Grody played the sound. Here is Hub Arkish for the insight and the analysis on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Thank you for the time, as always. How are you doing today, Hub?
I am good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. What to you was the most interesting thing that you saw and or heard today at Hallis Hall?
Well, to be perfectly honest, there wasn't a ton that was new and exciting or all that interesting, although I guess what jumped out at me was that to this point we've seen Sam Mustipher and Dakota Dozier swapping first-team reps at right guard. Today it was all Sam Mustipher, and I was looking for somebody else on the roster, and I happened to go by 57, and I noticed they're listing him at 332 pounds. Now, I don't know if that's a typo or if he actually put on weight, but it really doesn't make sense. I know I've been concerned that he was strictly a center based on his size at Notre Dame and his size early with the Bears. Don't really see him projecting as a guard. Adding 20, 30 pounds in most instances would aid him in trying to play the position, but not when the new GM comes in and says, I'm clearing out the line to go for lighter and more athletic guys, which is what he was. So I'm interested in finding out more about that. But obviously, when you talk about a whole football team and how good or bad they're going to be for the season, you don't focus a lot on the center slash guard.
I'm finding myself so interested in how they're going to line up this offensive line by the time we get to week one. And there obviously could be some people that are not here. How much do you think they can learn about these offensive linemen, whether it's Tevin and Borum or Dozier and Mustipher, you know, and Lucas Patrick? And how much can they learn between now and training camp?
You know, Matt, they can see a lot as to how they're adapting to the new system, how well they're learning the playbook, how they move athletically, getting them in the kind of shape that they want them to be in. But at the end of the day, at that position, with no live contact, which you're not going to get until the first preseason game, you're learning more about these players, but you still really don't know how good or bad they're going to be until they start bumping heads. Early in training camp, they're allowed some full contact, and I'm sure they'll take advantage of that. And you've got one less preseason game this year to get ready. So I think there's a very good chance that the starting five on opening day will not be the same starting five by week four or week five. And then when you look at least with everybody here, what they're choosing from, it's going to be very interesting to see how they mix and match these guys. The thing that's been fairly consistent is they appear to have settled on Tevin Jenkins on the right side and Larry Borum on the left side. I don't know if Borum is better off there or at right guard where there's an opening, but I am convinced, I have been from the moment they drafted him, that Jenkins is better off on the right side. So I think we're at least going to get a full understanding of who he is. We know who Cody Whitehair is. We know who Lucas Patrick is, which, by the way, is not necessarily an upgrade over who Sam Mustipher was. But other than that, you know, with right tackle and left tackle, I think they're going to start the season still not sure of what's going to be best by the time they get to the middle of the year.
Well, so that would be a second-year, fifth-rounder protecting Justin Fields' blind side this year at this point, in your guess, with Larry Borum?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, Danny, he's the best option I've seen out there so far. I'm not negative.
Oh, I'm not saying there's a better option. I'm just like, yeah, just like to in terms of pedigree, to like put it out there for people. You think that is mostly, he is the favorite, Larry Borum?
Oh, he's definitely the favorite right now. That's the way they'd like to see it work. And I've been impressed with some of what I've seen, not only, you know, now, but certainly late last year when he was forced to play it. And, you know, let's not forget, I mean, Jason Peters, who's headed for the Hall of Fame, was an undrafted free agent, converted tight end. So, you know, it's not normal. Usually the left tackles are first-round picks and sometimes high picks, but it can happen. And I think what I've seen, he's probably the best. I think Braxton Jones is very interesting. But the jump from you know, the competition he's faced to playing left tackle in the NFL, certainly don't see that early this season, but I think he's another interesting prospect. You know, Sean Coleman, who they signed yesterday or today, probably upgrades them at the swing tackle spot, which they really didn't even have, you know, until they brought him in. So they keep adding all these, let's call them what they are, bottom of the roster type players, and they're going to let them all go out and compete and go with the five best. But it's something that's going to continue to be a work in progress into next year's free agency and draft, I would think.
We're talking to Hub Arkish from Halas Hall after the first day of minicamp. They got to talk to players and coaches. There is a growing opinion. I'm not going to say it's anywhere close to a consensus, and we both, Spiegs and I both certainly disagree with it, but it is out there. Football Outsiders had a couple thousand word piece posted about it, and they are certainly not known for their hot takes, that the actions of Ryan Poles with free agency allocation and draft pick allocations suggest, even if their words say otherwise, that they are not in on Justin Fields, that they are not believers. They called it an obvious abandonment of Justin Fields. What is your response to that growing narrative?
I don't think it's true at all. I think that they don't know what they have yet, but I think that they are all in and doing the best they can to bring the best out of them. And I think we have to be honest about the situation that they inherited, because no matter who came in here to be the head coach and the GM, they weren't going to turn one of the worst offensive lines in the league into a better than average offensive line in one off season without, you know, possibly going crazy in free agency, you know, dollar wise. And they didn't have the money to do that. And at wide receiver, I would like to see a better quality veteran, at least one more, you know, brought in to give you some hope. I think people are getting way out over their skis on Velus Jones, who's interesting and exciting, but probably was overdrafted where they took him at 71. And so, you know, these are real concerns, but I don't think it's because they're not all in on Justin Fields. I think it's because, even though they won't use the word, this is a complete rebuild. You start from the ground up. You've got to constantly take the best player available. There's no reason to go out and sign long-term contracts this year with players who are just going to be a year older next year when you hope to finally threaten 500. So I don't have a problem that they didn't go spend a lot of money, or what money they had, against the cap. I think this is just the way they're choosing to play the cards that they were dealt. And you know, what I do kind of like about what Poles has done so far is that in playing the kind of bargain basement free agency game that he did, in Nicholas Morrow and certainly Justin Jones and Al-Qadeen Muhammad, you've got some younger veterans coming on middle age who still do have a little bit of upside. You know, they're trying to find another Akeem Hicks. I don't think one of these guys is that, but I think they could be a little better than we expect. those kind of players weren't really there on the offensive line or at wide receiver. And in the draft, you have to take the best player available. I don't care if you're picking, you know, 39 or 48 or 186, whatever it is. You still can't just draft a position because you need one. If you're rebuilding, you're trying to get as much young talent as you can. So I think it's hard for everybody to accept. But we talked about this the day that Ryan Poles was hired, I believe, in that there was a clear choice between, do you try and reboot and go for it one more time and just keep adding pieces, or do you just start over and commit to getting everything you can? And it seems pretty obvious to me that they've started over, and it's not the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
That's a phenomenal endorsement. I agree with
that. Like my NFL overtime idea.
It's not the dumbest thing.
I like that.
Oh, no, that was the dumbest thing.
No, actually, Danny, in all fairness, your NFL overtime idea was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. I just didn't want to say it.
You're a tremendous slouch.
Don't sell yourself. The one that they adopted isn't terribly different, but okay.
There's no roll top desk. That's what set yours apart.
I thought
pearl handled letter opener. I agree with your answer, Hub, and that's where I am on this thing. And it's clear that Ryan Poles is not like being beholden to the idea of getting clarity as soon as possible about Justin Fields. At least I hope that's not the case. Do you think this is a 2-year project with Justin Fields? Like, they'll see some stuff this year, but do you think that, because they need clarity by the end of year three, obviously, to pick up the option. Do you think their investment in Fields is for 2 years at this point, at least?
I suspect it is, Matt. As much as we want them to be really good with him on a rookie contract, I just don't know if that's possible. So then you move to the next step and you say, okay, they've got 4 years of control. With what they've done here, they do have, I mean, one of my favorite NFL quotes of all time was Vince Lombardi, who said, on any given Sunday, there's no greater than 10% difference in the talent on the best team and the worst team in the league, and the rest is all attitude and coaching. But whether it's 10% or 7% or 13%, I don't know, but it's not more than 13%. I mean, a lot of these guys can still play football, and they are going to make some of these guys better football players. So where I'm going with this is that if Justin Fields is the player that I think he can be, by midseason, he should be getting better even with this group that he has around him. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of these receivers are going to settle in. The offensive line, a lot of it is timing and rhythm and starting to gel. And so if he is showing some steady improvement over the second half of the season, and they've saved all the cap space, and they brought in some good young players, they will have accomplished what they want. On the other hand, if he goes all year and it just never starts to get any better, they're probably going to have a top five pick next year. And you're talking about a quarterback draft that is going to be much more comparable to 2021, I should say, than 22, when you didn't want to be drafting a quarterback. There's a good chance, and again, we got a lot to learn. I'm not saying this. I know this is going to be the headline. But there's certainly a chance when you look at the roster, they could even have the top pick or the second or third pick. And there's two quarterbacks we know right now, unless something really unusual happens, and that's, of course, Stroud and Young, who are probably going to go 1-2. And they could, if they end up with the first or second pick and Fields did not show dramatic improvement this year, they have to take one of those two guys. And I think you still keep Fields around for that third year, obviously. You let him compete and you see what happens. But they do have potentially a backup that could be a fortunate result of the unfortunate situation they find themselves in right now, which is just not one of the better 53-man rosters in the league.
That scenario deserves its own hour and its own show, and we've talked about it a bit, and definitely we'll be talking about that with you more. Any other nuggets, anything else from today, Hub, or what's going forward with this minicamp? I know you guys don't get to see a lot of it, but you know, in terms of between now and training camp even, what are you hoping to learn and see?
Well, I mean, to give the full description to our audience, we're out there for all of it. It's just that sometimes with where we're restricted to go and where they're at in the field, it's really hard to see through the players to what's actually going on. So, but yeah, I mean, we get to watch a lot and see a lot. And I'm intrigued by what they're doing on defense. I felt, guys, like I was in a time machine. I'd gone back 18 years, and I was watching the first Lovie Smith practice as he brought his version of the takeaways are king Tampa 2 defense to the Bears. It's exactly what Flus is trying to do, watching these kids running all over the place, even on incomplete passes, the race to pick the ball up off the ground. They are trying to teach speed, hustle, aggressiveness, and taking the football away on defense. It's much harder at this point to see what they're doing on offense. I mean, we know now it's going to be an outside zone run scheme. We know it's a version of the West Coast, a little more vertical passing game. But we're going to need a good chunk of training camp to start to get a feel for where they're at on that. And then it was also really interesting. We met these assistant coaches, the offensive assistant coaches, for the first time today. We'll meet the defensive assistants next week. This coaching staff is in many respects, is young and unknown. As the roster is, and so there's a lot to be gleaned. As a matter of fact, as soon as we get off, I want to go back and study all those transcriptions from talking to these guys. And I think by the time we get to veteran minicamp, we're going to have a much better handle on at least being able to evaluate the coaching staff a bit. And we're going to know, you know, among these young veterans that there is a handful, hopefully half a dozen to a dozen, who really can play. And that's what we're watching over the next few weeks.
Hub, great stuff as always. Thank you for the insight. We'll talk to you throughout the offseason and, of course, once the season gets underway. Thank you, Hub.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a great night.
Thanks, Hub.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.